There's two ways, basically, to organize. One, to organize ourselves through a schedule. The other, to delegate. To delegate to other people. And then they can organize themselves around their priorities. Those are the two basic ways of organizing. Do it yourself or get someone else to do it. I commend to everybody, and I think probably most of you do this practice, the use of some kind of a scheduling tool. A scheduling tool. Some organizing tool that you can carry with you or have it fairly easily accessible to you so that you can always make sure that you're organizing and scheduling your life around your priorities. Let me discuss the characteristics of a good tool, okay? A good planning tool or an organizing tool. I like the word organizing better than planning because organizing is a larger concept. Planning or scheduling your time is only one aspect of organization. You either do it and schedule yourself to do it, or you delegate someone else to do it. Organization implies not just time management and planning, but also your delegations and your working with other people. Let me say a thing about good organizing tools. And by the way, you may have one now. One that you can easily adapt to accommodate these six principles I'm trying to teach. I suggest that these are six characteristics of good organizing tools. One, coherence. Coherence. That means there is harmony and unity and integrity between your vision and mission, goals and roles, and the plans to accomplish those goals, your commitment, your discipline. And it's written right into your tool. It's coherent. You have it all. The tool covers long term. Write your mission statement down in the tool. Analyze what are the important roles of your life and write goals for every one of those roles in the tool. Then you've got balance, see, which is the second principle, balance. You're not neglecting, say, your health or your family or your professional preparation or your personal development or deep, meaningful communication with key people. Here's where it gets exciting. You've got to get a tool that meets the third criterion. Quad two. It must encourage you, motivate you, press against you to spend the requisite time in quad two. That's the key. So you're dealing with prevention rather than just crises and problems. I suggest adapt your tool or get one that gets you into weekly planning. You can still plan daily, prioritize on a daily basis, but the fundamental thrust is you think through a week. See, most people have been scripted into thinking over a week's time. Too many of the tools today deal only with the day-to-day planning. The long-term, then day-to-day. The week is the key interval that most people are geared to think about. And even a month, we can write into a month, but not day-to-day prioritizing the crises. How many have been in those kinds of tools before? Well, you're prioritizing crises. It's just a to-do list on crises. No matter how well they're organized with A, B, C, and everything else, you've got to get something into quadrant two. The other day, I was with a group of people telling them about this, and someone said, well, we don't know. And I said, how do you feel about quadrant two? Oh, absolutely necessary. Are you doing it? No. You're not doing quadrant two. Got to have a weekly opportunity to plan all of the quadrant two activities, and you build it right in. And your quadrant one, because if you don't do quadrant one, remember, you're in trouble. And if the boat's sinking and you don't have time to fix the hole at the bottom of the boat, you're going to be spending all your time in quadrant one. It's a dilemma. If you only have that much time that's discretionary, goes to quadrant two. Only that much. All the rest is controlled. Give that much. Quadrant two. Little by little, you'll see the discretionary time getting to go like this. Why? Because if you handle quadrant two, quadrant one will get smaller and smaller and be manageable. You'll still have a quadrant one. It may still take half your day. The other half, quadrant two. Now you're into high leverage activities, activities that are exciting and fun. The other day, a gentleman said after he decided to make a change to quadrant two, he said, I went through great withdrawal pains. He said, because I just loved opening the mail and responding to everything that came along, and it gave me an immediate sense of satisfaction. And then I thought, you know, I'm the head of this company. I'm spending no time in leadership. It's all crisis management. I'm going to skip time to leadership. Not only did he go through withdrawal pains, but everyone around him went through withdrawal pains because they expected him to be responsive to their requests. They were used to depending upon him for decisions. All of a sudden, he was out writing mission statements and trying to think through roles and goals and things of this nature. What's he doing, you know? It was hard, he said, but now it's been 9 months. Business has doubled. Profits quadrupled. Why? He's doing the right kinds of things. Producers do it. Managers delegate it. Leaders decide what it is. And he gave his energy to leadership. He decided what really is important. Next, you need a tool that deals with people, not just schedules. So have a tool that deals with people. So you can record exactly what the agreements are, what the communications were, what desired results have been agreed upon. A tool that tells you when the accountability sessions will be, when people give progress reports on how well they're doing. Then you have complete delegation, and you've empowered other people. They've lessened their dependency upon you. Fifth, the tool must be flexible. It must be such that you can open it, close it, put things in, change it. It's always your servant, never your master. It has to work for you. The sixth and final characteristic, I suggest, is portable. It should be portable, that you're willing to carry it with you, to keep it with you, almost at all times. Maybe when you take a shower. But really, you keep it with you, right by you. You know what a lot of people think about all this scheduling? A lot of people think that it enslaves them. I don't want to live by a schedule. It kills my creativity. It kills my spontaneity. It doesn't serve me any. You know what the key is? You want to have freedom? You want to have time for spontaneity? What's the key? Get scheduled. Schedule yourself. Then you can buy all kinds of time. To me, a rich private life is so valuable that I have to fight to keep it, right? Because it's the source of where you get your power. If you're your own best friend, you have to go deep within yourself. That's your source. So you have to schedule it, see? So if you want to really have freedom and spontaneity, get scheduled. If you don't want freedom and spontaneity, but just want to cry about it a lot, then don't organize your life around a schedule. Just kind of float with what happens and the way the surf pounds in. And then you watch what your life is like. It'd be like going into your room and having no closet and no dresser drawers. What if you didn't have closet or dresser drawers? You know, just imagine what the room would look like. Now you got to go find the dress that you're going to use or the suit you're going to wear, see? Now that's what it would be like to live without a schedule. So I commend to you the development of a tool. A good tool and the use of it on a regular basis. But above all, get one where you can write in your mission statement, your values and your goals, and then the high leverage activities, and then constantly review it every week.